Page 22. On this page, we have a picture of the Savior with the following caption. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Page 23, chapter 3, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind, and we can receive all the blessings He lived and died to give us. From the life of Spencer W. Kimball. Early in his service as an apostle, Elder Spencer W. Kimball suffered 3 heart attacks within a period of about 2 weeks. After almost 7 weeks of recovering at home, he began looking for an escape from his monotonous house confinement. He arranged to recuperate among his beloved Navajo friends in the state of New Mexico. One morning during this recuperative period, Elder Kimball's bed was discovered empty. Thinking that he had taken a morning stroll and would be back in time for breakfast, his attendants went about their duties. But when he hadn't returned by 10 a.m., they began to worry. A search began. He was finally discovered several miles away under a pine tree. His Bible lay next to him, open to the last chapter of St. John. His eyes were closed, and when the search party came up to him, he remained as still as when they first caught sight of him. Their frightened voices aroused him, however, and when he lifted his head, they could see traces of tears on his cheeks. To their questions, he answered, 5 years ago today, I was called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just wanted to spend the day with Him whose witness I am. President Kimball bore witness of the Savior's divinity again and again and again. He declared, no matter how much we say of Him, it is still too little, and the goodness of President Kimball's life matched the power of his testimony. Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles observed, President Kimball was the Lord's man and nobody else's. His deepest desires were to serve the Lord, and he refused to be compromised by other considerations. Page 24. Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball. More than just a great teacher, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and the Savior of mankind. In the magazine Time, in a recent issue, a noted professor, emeritus in one of our largest universities, was quoted at length on his rationalizing. To Jesus of Nazareth, he gives human warmth, a great capacity for love, unusual understanding. He calls him a great humanist, a great teacher, a great dramatist. As a typical rationalization, he explains that Lazarus was not dead but was merely brought back to health by Jesus, the power of mind and learning, and by the therapy of his own abundant vitality. I want to bear testimony today that Jesus is not only a great teacher, a great humanist, and a great dramatist, but is in very deed the Son of the living God, the Creator, the Redeemer of the world, and the Savior of mankind. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know that. The Christ declared Himself to be the Lord God Almighty, Christ the Lord, the beginning and the end, the Redeemer of the world, Jesus the Christ, the Mighty One of Israel, the Creator, the Son of the living God, Jehovah. The Father Elohim declares Jesus to be mine only begotten Son, the Word of my power. And twice, at least, at the Jordan baptism, and then on the Mount of Transfiguration, He declared, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark chapter 1, verse 11, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And stated that the worlds were made by Him, men were made by Him, all things were made by Him, and through Him, and of Him. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 93, verse 10. We testify with John the Baptist, who as he saw the Lord approaching to him, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. Not just a man of human warmth, but the Lamb of God. Page 25. We bear witness with Nathanael, an Israelite in whom was no guile. Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. John chapter 1, verse 49. Not merely a great teacher, but the very Son of God. We testify again with John the Beloved, who, seeing Jesus on the shore, said with conviction, It is the Lord. John chapter 21, verse 7. Not only a great humanist, but the Lord God of heaven. And with Simon Peter, who, when asked by the Lord, But whom say ye that I am? Said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And receive this statement from the Savior, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And finally, we bear witness with the prophet Joseph Smith, who was willing to give his life for his testimony. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. He is my friend, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. The Savior's ministry extends to the eternities, past, present, and future. I want to testify that Jesus Christ not only lived in the meridian of time for approximately 33 years, but that he lived eternities before this and will live eternities beyond it. And I bear testimony that he was not only the organizer of the kingdom of God upon the earth, but the creator of this world, the redeemer of mankind. Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament, and it was he who conversed with Abraham and Moses. It was he who inspired Isaiah and Jeremiah. It was he who foretold, through those chosen men, the happenings of the future, even to the latest day and hour. Page 26. It was he, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was introduced to surprise listeners at Jordan. See Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. At the Holy Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. At the Temple of the Nephites, 3 Nephi chapters 11 through 26. And in the Grove at Palmyra, New York, Joseph Smith History, 1 verses 17 through 25. And the introducing person was none other than his actual father, the Holy Elohim, in whose image he was and whose will he carried out. I know the Lord lives, and I know that he's revealing his mind and will to us daily, so that we can be inspired as to the direction to go. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the head of the kingdom. These are his followers. This his church. These his doctrines and ordinances. These his commandments. We look forward now to his second coming as he promised. This promise will be literally fulfilled, as were his many other promises. And in the meantime, we praise his holy name and serve him, and bear testimony of the divinity of his mission with the prophets through the generations. I know that Jesus, through eternities past and future, is the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Son of God. Through his atonement, Jesus Christ saves all people from the effects of the fall and saves the repentant from personal sins. My beloved brothers and sisters, God lives, and I bear testimony of it. Jesus Christ lives, and he is the author of the true way of life and salvation. This is the message of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is the most important message in the world today. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was chosen by the Father as the Savior of this world. When Adam intentionally and wisely partook of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, he brought upon all of us, his descendants, two deaths, the physical or mortal death, and the spiritual death, or the banishment from the presence of the Lord. Page 27. In God's divine plan, provision was made for a Redeemer to break the bonds of death and, through the resurrection, make possible the reunion of the spirits and bodies of all persons who had dwelt on earth. Jesus of Nazareth was the one who, before the world was created, was chosen to come to earth to perform this service, to conquer mortal death. This voluntary action would atone for the fall of Adam and Eve and permit the spirit of man to recover his body, thereby reuniting body and spirit. This resurrection referred to is the work of Jesus Christ the Savior, who, because he was both mortal, the Son of Mary, and divine, the Son of God, was able to overcome the powers governing the flesh. He actually gave his life and literally took it up again as the first fruits to be followed by every soul that has ever lived. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 through 23. Being a God, he gave his life. No one could take it from him. He had developed through his perfection in overcoming all things the power to take up his life again. Death was his last enemy, and he overcame even that and established the resurrection. It is because of Heavenly Father's gift of his Son that all men, past, present, and future, can return to live with him who is the Father of our spirits. But to ensure that that can happen, it was first necessary for Jesus to come to earth in the flesh to teach men by his example the correct way to live, and then to willingly give up his life and in some miraculous way accept the burden for the sins of mankind. The purging out of sin would be impossible but for the total repentance of the individual and the kind mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in his atoning sacrifice. Only by these means can man recover, be healed and washed and purged, and still be eligible for the glories of eternity. On the Savior's great role in this, Helaman reminded his sons of King Benjamin's comments. There is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come, yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. Helaman chapter 5, verse 9. And in recalling the words which Amulek spoke to Zeezrom, Helaman emphasized man's part in obtaining forgiveness, repenting from his sins. Page 28. On the top of page 28, we have a picture of the Savior outside the sepulcher after his resurrection, with the following caption: Death was his last enemy, and he overcame even that, and established the resurrection. He said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Helaman chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. The Savior died a propitiation for our sins to open the way for our resurrection, to point the way to our perfection of life, to show the way to exaltation. He died purposefully, voluntarily. His birth was humble. His life was perfect. His example was compelling. His death opened doors, and man was offered every good gift and blessing. Page 29. To receive all the blessings of the Savior's atonement, we must join our efforts with his. Every soul has his free agency. He can have all the blessings of Christ lived and died to give him. But Christ's death and plan are all in vain, and even worse than futile, if we do not take advantage of them. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. Doctrine and Covenant, section 19, verse 16. The Savior came to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Moses chapter 1, verse 39. His birth, death, and resurrection brought about the first, but we must join our efforts with his to bring about the second, to attain eternal life. When we think of the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sufferings he endured for us, we would be ingrates if we did not appreciate it so far as our power made it possible. He suffered and died for us, yet if we do not repent, all his anguish and pain on our account are futile. His suffering before and on the cross and his great sacrifice can mean little or nothing to us unless we live his commandments. For he says, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15. Men who know God and love him and live his commandments and obey his true ordinances may yet in this life, or the life to come, see his face and know that he lives and will commune with them. We believe, and it is our testimony, and we proclaim it to the world, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 17. Page 30. We know, and it is our testimony, and we also proclaim it to the world, that to be saved, men must believe that salvation was and is to come, in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord Omnipotent. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 18. Thus with Nephi, we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children, and also our brethren to believe in Christ, and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all we can do. And we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 23 and verse 26. We please the Lord when we live his gospel. I can imagine the Lord Jesus Christ during his mortal ministry smiling as he looked upon his people in their devotion. I think the Lord Jesus Christ is smiling when he looks into the homes of this people and sees them on their knees in family prayer night and morning, the children participating also. I think he smiles when he sees young husbands and wives and older ones with deep affection for each other, who continue their courtship, who continue to love each other with all their souls until the day they die, and then accentuate it through eternity. I think he is pleased with the families which sacrifice and share. I think the Lord Jesus Christ is smiling when he looks down and sees thousands who were inactive a year ago, but today are happy in the kingdom, many of whom have been to the holy temple of God and had their endowments in their ceilings, and who with tears of gratitude thank the Lord for his program. I think I see tears of joy in his eyes and a smile on his lips as he sees the new souls who have come unto him this year, who have professed his name, who have gone into the waters of baptism, and I think he loves those who help to convert them also. I see him smile as he sees his numerous people on their knees in repentance, changing their lives, making them brighter and cleaner and more like their Heavenly Father and their brother, Jesus Christ. Page 31. I think he is pleased and smiles as he sees youth as they organize their lives and protect and fortify themselves against the errors of the day. I think he is first grieved and then perhaps pleased when he sees, as he must have done a few days ago in my office, a young couple who had made serious error and were now on their knees together with their hands tightly clasped together. There must have been joy in his smile when he saw into their souls and saw that they were making the adjustment as their tears bathed my hand, which I had tenderly placed on theirs. Oh, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that I can show to him and manifest my sincerity and devotion. I want to live close to him. I want to be like him. And I pray that the Lord will help all of us that we may so be, as he said to his Nephite disciples, "Therefore, what manner of men ought ye to be?" And he answered his own question by saying, "Even as I am." 3 Nephi chapter 27, verse 27. The atonement gives us hope in this life and for the eternity that lies ahead. We have a hope in Christ here and now. He died for our sins. Because of him and his gospel, our sins are washed away in the waters of baptism. Sin and iniquity are burned out of our souls as though by fire, and we become clean, have clear consciences, and gain that peace which passeth understanding. See Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. By living the laws of His gospel, we gain temporal prosperity and maintain health of body and strength of mind. The gospel blesses us today. But today is just a grain of sand in the Sahara of eternity. We have also a hope in Christ for the eternity that lies ahead. Otherwise, as Paul said, we would be of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. How great would be our sorrow, and justly so, if there were no resurrection. How miserable we would be if there were no hope of life eternal. If our hope of salvation and eternal reward should fade away, we would certainly be more miserable than those who never had such an expectancy. Page 32. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Now the effects of His resurrection shall pass upon all men, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. Now, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. Now provision has been made whereby this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. We have eternal hope in Christ. We know this life is given to us to prepare for eternity. And that same sociality which exists among us here will exist among us there. Only it will be coupled with eternal glory, which glory we do not now enjoy. Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 2. Suggestions for study and teaching. Consider these ideas as you study the chapter or as you prepare to teach. For additional help, refer to Roman numeral pages 5 through 9. Read the story on page 23. In what ways can we draw closer to the Lord and spend the day with Him as President Kimball did? Review pages 24 through 25, looking for names and titles President Kimball used for Jesus Christ. What names and titles for Jesus Christ have special meaning for you, and why? How would you respond to someone who claims that Jesus was just a great teacher? Ponder President Kimball's testimony of the Savior's premortal, mortal, and postmortal ministry, pages 25 through 26. Think about what you might do to deepen your testimony of the Savior's mission. Study pages 26 through 28, looking for reasons why we need a Savior. What difference has the atonement of Jesus Christ made in your life? Page 33. On pages 24 through 28, President Kimball testifies of the things the Savior has done for us. On pages 29 through 32, we learn of the things we must do to receive all the blessings of the atonement. What are your feelings as you compare what the Savior has done for us with what He asks us to do? Review President Kimball's reflections about how we can please the Lord, pages 30 through 31. Think about how you feel when you know the Lord is pleased with you. President Kimball taught that we can have a hope in Christ both now and for the eternity that lies ahead, pages 31 through 32. How do people's lives change when they have a hope in Christ? Related scriptures, John chapter 14, verse 6, and verses 21 through 23. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 5 through 13, and verses 21 through 23. Moroni chapter 7, verse 41. Moroni chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. And Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verses 15 through 19. End of chapter 3, Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Scriptures relating to chapter 3 of Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. 15. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 1. And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. 7. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Joseph Smith History 1, verses 17 to 25. 17. It no sooner appeared than I found myself delivered from the enemy which held me bound. When the light rested upon me, I saw 2 personages whose brightness and glory defy all description, standing above me in the air. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, This is my beloved Son, hear him. 18. My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself so as to be able to speak, than I asked the personages who stood above me in the light, which of all the sects was right, for at this time it had never entered into my heart that all were wrong, and which I should join. 19. And I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. 20. And he again forbade me to join with any of them, and many other things did he say unto me which I cannot write at this time. When I came to myself again, I found myself lying on my back, looking up into heaven. When the light had departed, I had no strength, but soon recovering in some degree, I went home, and as I leaned up to the fireplace, Mother inquired what the matter was. I replied, Never mind, all is well. I am well enough off. I then said to my mother, I have learned for myself that Presbyterianism is not true. It seems as though the adversary was aware, at a very early period of my life, that I was destined to prove a disturber and an annoyer of his kingdom. Else why should the powers of darkness combine against me? Why the opposition and persecution that arose against me, almost in my infancy? 21. Some few days after I had this vision, I happened to be in company with one of the Methodist preachers, who was very active in the before-mentioned religious excitement. And conversing with him on the subject of religion, I took occasion to give him an account of the vision which I had had. I was greatly surprised at his behavior. He treated my communication not only lightly, but with great contempt, saying it was all of the devil, and that there were no such things as visions or revelations in these days, that all such things had ceased with the apostles, and that there would never be any more of them. 22. I soon found, however, that my telling the story had excited a great deal of prejudice against me among professors of religion, and was the cause of great persecution, which continued to increase. And though I was an obscure boy, only between 14 and 15 years of age, and my circumstances in life such as to make a boy of no consequence in the world, yet men of high standing would take notice sufficient to excite the public mind against me, and create a bitter persecution. And this was common among all the sects, all united to persecute me. 23. It caused me serious reflection then, and often has since, how very strange it was that an obscure boy of a little over 14 years of age, and one, too, who was doomed to the necessity of obtaining a scanty maintenance by his daily labor, should be thought a character of sufficient importance to attract the attention of the great ones of the most popular sects of the day, and in a manner to create in them a spirit of the most bitter persecution and reviling. But strange or not, so it was, and it was often the cause of great sorrow to myself. 24. However, it was nevertheless a fact that I had beheld a vision. I have thought since that I felt much like Paul when he made his defense before King Agrippa and related the account of the vision he had when he saw a light and heard a voice, but still there were but few who believed him. Some said he was dishonest, others said he was mad, and he was ridiculed and reviled. But all this did not destroy the reality of his vision. He had seen a vision, he knew he had, and all the persecution under heaven could not make it otherwise. And though they should persecute him unto death, yet he knew, and would know to his latest breath, that he had both seen a light and heard a voice speaking unto him, and all the world could not make him think or believe otherwise. 25. So it was with me. I had actually seen a light, and in the midst of that light I saw two personages, and they did in reality speak to me. And though I was hated and persecuted for saying that I had seen a vision, yet it was true. And while they were persecuting me, reviling me, and speaking all manner of evil against me falsely for so saying, I was led to say in my heart, "Why persecute me for telling the truth? I have actually seen a vision, and who am I that I can withstand God? Or why does the world think to make me deny what I have actually seen? For I had seen a vision. I knew it, and I knew that God knew it, and I could not deny it, neither dared I do it. At least I knew that by so doing, I would offend God and come under condemnation." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 22. 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Doctrine and Covenant, section 130, verse 2. And that same sociality which exists among us here will exist among us there, only it will be coupled with eternal glory, which glory we do not now enjoy. John chapter 14, verse 6 and verses 21 through 23. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verses 5 through 13, and verses 21 through 23. 5. Yea, I know that ye know that in the body he shall show himself unto those at Jerusalem from whence we came. for it is expedient that it should be among them. For it behooveth the great Creator that he suffereth himself to become subject unto man in the flesh, and die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. 6. For as death hath passed upon all men, to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection. And the resurrection must needs come unto man by reason of the fall. And the fall came by reason of transgression. And because man became fallen, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. 7. Wherefore, it must needs be an infinite atonement. Save it should be an infinite atonement, this corruption could not put on incorruption. Wherefore, the first judgment which came upon man must needs have remained to an endless duration. And if so, this flesh must have laid down to rot and to crumble to its mother earth to rise no more. 8. Oh, the wisdom of God, his mercy and grace! For behold, if the flesh should rise no more, our spirits must become subject to that angel who fell from before the presence of the eternal God and became the devil to rise no more. 9. And our spirits must have become like unto him, and we become devils, angels to a devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God, and to remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. Yea, to that being who beguiled our first parents, who transformeth himself nigh unto an angel of light, and stirreth up the children of man unto secret combinations of murder, and all manner of secret works of darkness. 10. Oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of this awful monster, yea, that monster death and hell, which I call the death of the body, and also the death of the spirit. 11. And because of the way of deliverance of our God, the Holy One of Israel, this death of which I have spoken, which is the temporal, shall deliver up its dead, which death is the grave. 12. And this death of which I have spoken, which is the spiritual death, shall deliver up its dead, which spiritual death is hell. Wherefore death and hell must deliver up their dead, and hell must deliver up its captive spirits, and the grave must deliver up its captive bodies, and the bodies and the spirits of men will be restored one to the other. And it is by the power of the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel. 13. Oh, how great the plan of our God! For on the other hand, the paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the body of the righteous. And the spirit and the body is restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal, and they are living souls, having a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh, save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. 21. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, who belong to the family of Adam. 22. And he suffereth this that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. 23. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. Moroni chapter 7, verse 41. And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Moroni chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. 32. Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ, And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. 33. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father under the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot. Doctrine and Covenant, section 19, verses 15 through 19. 15. Therefore I command you to repent, repent, lest I smite you by the rod of my mouth, and by my wrath, and by my anger, and your sufferings be sore, how sore you know not, how exquisite you know not, yea, how hard to bear you know not. 16. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. 17. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I. 18. Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. 19. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparations unto the children of men. End of the Scriptures relating to Chapter 3 of Teachings of the Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball.